Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is a lesson just read, particularly these words from the 20th chapter of Acts. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. This is the word of God. The chapel today seems somewhat subdued in comparison with the heady experience of Symposia Week. You don't have to come 10 minutes early to find a seat. But on the other hand, we really miss that heady experience of those 600 voices and more joined full strength, wrapping themselves around the church's song in one voice. Well, it seems appropriate that we gather here today to observe the festival days of Saints Timothy and Titus, not in the midst of that mountaintop experience, but rather in the afterglow of it. Because, you see, the church cannot always live on mountaintops. She may occasionally come apart from the world for a while, to rest for a while in such lofty places, but she finds in this fallen world that her daily sustenance and vocation is found at a much lower altitude. So it is that pastors and confessors, all of them, do their real work not in the limelight, but down in the trenches among the people whom they serve. The two men whom we commemorate today are, we could consider them, Johnny-come-latelys on the liturgical roster, at least among North American Lutherans. Our sister seminary has enshrined them in splendid stained glass above the altar of its seminary chapel, sort of the poster boy models, as it were, of young seminarians, some of them not so young, in fact. Timothy, representing those first-year seminarians who come fresh from school with a lifelong catechesis under their belt, while Titus, looking somewhat older in that depiction and presumably wiser, standing in for the adult converts and second career men among the student body. Well, no matter who you are and where you find yourself on that spectrum of youth, experience, or accumulated wisdom, the pastoral instruction that is given by the Apostle Paul to the pastors from Ephesus is one size fits all. It even addresses those of us who are called to teach in this place, as well as those who come to learn here. The lesson is simple and short and to the point. There's a responsibility to being a pastor, we learn, but there's also a glorious privilege. The responsibility is that of spiritual oversight, to be a spiritual overseer. Not, mind you, the kind of overseers they had on 19th century plantations, whose job it was to crack the whip, to keep the master's slaves in line, but rather a man who's constantly on guard, who's always on the lookout for the safety and welfare of the Lord's own flock. A man who always keeps his eyes peeled, with his eyes always on the sheep, looking for danger signals within the flock. Sheep in trouble, or sheep under attack. And when you think about it, that's a pretty accurate description of just what we're up against as Christians. For in one way or another, every one of us here is prone to trouble, and we're always under attack. And that's why the responsibility, the apostle says to these pastors, is first personal before it's professional. Take heed, he says, to yourselves and to all the flock. This is the solemn responsibility of every one of us. And believe you me, the stakes are high. For you know as well as I do what spiritual pitfalls surround us here in this place. What temptations lurk on every side. They include the whole gamut of sin, but they culminate in the worst, as Luther writes in the Catechism, misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. No, the walls of the seminary don't keep sin out, unfortunately. Truth be told, temptations flourish precisely where God's truth is most clearly taught and forcibly proclaimed. Therefore, constant vigilance must be the byword of every would-be shepherd in Christ's church. First for yourself, and then for all the flock over which the Holy Spirit may someday make you overseers. We all need shepherds in this enterprise called the church. Shepherds who will both guide and guard. Shepherds who will guide God's people into the green pastures and beside the still waters of His glorious grace. But shepherds who will also boldly stand in the gap to guard the sheep against the marauding wolves who are constantly on the prowl around the flock, lurking on every side, just licking their chops for a great big juicy bite of tasty sheep meat. The devil sets his trap, and sin weaves its deadly web for every one of us. Were it not for Christ, this sin of ours would in fact be our death. But Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, has intervened. He was made to be our sin instead of us. He gave his very body and shed his holy blood that we might be forgiven. And that's where the privilege comes in for the likes of us. For the church of God in which we serve does not belong to us. It is not our own. It belongs to Him. God Himself has purchased her with His own blood. What a privilege, therefore, for mortal men like us to serve Christ's very own, who are His precious sheep and lambs. Through the mouths and hands of His ministers, Christ has so arranged it in His church that His sheep will be fed and nourished with His forgiveness, life, and salvation until He comes again in glory. Christ Himself speaks through the mouth of His called servants to announce the glad good news of His kingdom wherever His word is faithfully preached. He personally and pointedly erases the sins of penitent believers whenever pastors pronounce forgiveness in His name. Christ Himself gives His very body to eat and His holy blood to drink wherever His sacrament is administered, according to His institution, as the continuing sign and seal of His redemption and His everlasting consoling love. So this is the privilege given here on earth to every pastor. Touch and handle things unseen and yet very, very real. To be partners with Christ in tending His sheep. For through these divine means of His blessed word and holy sacraments, God Himself continues to do His work here on earth. He continually sends forth His Spirit to work faith when and where it pleases Him in those who hear the gospel, to forgive the sins of penitent sinners in His church here on earth day by day, and then, on the last day, raise up all the dead and give to all believers in Christ eternal life. Just doesn't get any better than that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.